there's two back-to-back talks. One will be Levels of the Breath, page 44, and the other one will be The Four Jhanas, page 49. Levels of the Breath, August 20, 2006. We all bring our stories to the meditation. Sometimes they're helpful stories, sometimes they're not. Even the Buddha brought his stories to the meditation. The first knowledge on the night of his awakening was basically his story stretching back over many lifetimes. The big issues in each lifetime were his name, his appearance, his food, his experience of pleasure and pain, and how he passed away. That's pretty much it. The life of living beings, name, appearance, food, pleasure, pain, and death. Not much of a story. And yet we elaborate these things into all kinds of issues and spend whole lives going over the details, certain incidents in the stories, especially the painful ones. Or we can look back on the pleasures we once had, but that we're missing now, which can turn those past pleasures into present pain. The Buddha found two ways to get out of his stories. One was to generalize, to think about all living beings as a whole. That is what his second knowledge. The question arose, if he had previous lifetimes, how about other beings? Maybe looking at other beings, he would be able to see some general patterns. And that's precisely what happened. He saw how all beings died and then were reborn, and taking the larger view, he saw an important pattern. The quality of their rebirth was based on their actions, on the quality of their intentions, shaped by their views. From there, he went to the third knowledge, which took the pattern he saw and the second knowledge and applied it to the present moment. Looking at his views and his intentions in the present moment, taking them apart, that was how he got out of his stories altogether. So as we meditate, we want to think about the pattern the Buddha found. We've got to get out of our narratives, our stories. Otherwise, they drive us crazy. You go through the same old movies over and over again. Movies that, if they were put up on the screen, you wouldn't pay to watch. Yet, because of the I and the me, my pain, my pleasure, my appearance, my food, you get hooked into watching them over and over again. If you want your meditation to go anywhere, you've got to get yourself off the hook. The first step is to start generalizing. Think of all the beings in the world who have had appearances they didn't like, or food they didn't like, or missed the food that they once had that they did like, or suffer both pleasure and pain. You're not the only one. Think about that often. These are situations we all undergo. And the particulars of our appearance and food and pain and pleasure may enthrall us, but you've got to look at the general pattern. When you do, you find that the comings and goings of good and bad, likes and dislikes, start seeming inconsequential. As the general pattern takes the sting or the allure out of your own personal narrative, you can come to the present moment and see more clearly what you're doing in the present moment that's creating the pain that doesn't have to be there. What do you have in the present moment? You've got intentions, or in other words, fabrications. What kind of fabrications do you have here? You've got the breath. That's the bodily fabrication. You've got directed thought and evaluation. Those are verbal fabrications. And you've got feeling and perceptions and the intentional element fashioning them. That's mental fabrications. These are the things you want to understand. You understand them by learning how to master them, bringing them all together. As we're doing right now when we focus on the breath and approaching their fabrication as a skill, what's the most skillful way to breathe? What's the most skillful way to think about and evaluate your breath? What are the most skillful perceptions to apply to the breath? What kind of feelings are useful to develop out of the breath? As you get more and more absorbed in these questions, they really help you get out of your narratives. During my first year as a monk back in Thailand, I had a lot of time to myself, a lot more than you do here. And sure enough, a lot of my old narratives from grade school, high school, college, and my family kept coming back, coming back, coming back. The one thing that kept me from going crazy was the fact that I had something interesting to explore in the present moment, the breath. As I got more of a handle on the breath, got more absorbed in the breath, the fascination with the old narratives began to wane. the understanding began to arise that if I really wanted to comprehend why I was suffering from those old past narratives, I should try to see how I was causing suffering for myself right now in the present moment. The breath was a good way to explore that. Getting absorbed in the breath is a very important way of getting out of those narratives and into the really big issue. Why are you causing stress and suffering for yourself right now? You're not a passive observer. You're not here watching a TV show that somebody else has prepackaged. You're actively creating the show. It's an interactive game. So it's important to look at how you think about the breath, how you perceive the breath, and to see the impact those thoughts and perceptions have. This is where Ajahn Lee's instructions on the different levels of breath energy are really helpful. There's the in and out breathing. Then there's the breath energy that courses through the nerves and the blood vessels throughout the body. Then there's the still breath. It's important to realize that all three levels of breath are happening all the time. What you're going to notice depends on which one you focus on. And which one you focus on is going to determine how strong and steady and precise your concentration can be. First, you work with the in and out breath, which is the easiest to observe and can get the mind to a certain level of concentration. But the in and out breath can take you only so far. You're still changing from in to out, and you may have to sense that the in breath is something very different from the out breath. So you're watching two things. But then you start getting more and more in touch with the process of spreading of the breath energy through the blood vessels and the nerves. That gives you something you can watch continuously with no switching from in to out. For this level of energy is always there. Your perception can become steadier. At first, it is not all that steady because you're exploring. This is directed thought and evaluation. You're exploring how the breath energy affects different parts of the body, which parts you tense up as you breathe in, and which parts you squeeze as you breathe out. Then you work through those parts, section by section, clearing out the tension and trying to keep it cleared out throughout the breath cycle. Sometimes as you get one section cleared up, a section that you've just cleared a few minutes ago starts tensing up again. It's like the old Thai proverb about throwing live crabs into a basket. You throw one or two into the basket, then you look for your third, but the time you throw the third one in, the first crab's crawled out. So again, this stage of meditation is fairly active. There's a lot of directed thought, a lot of evaluation, and they have to go back and forth over the same territory many, many times. But the important point is that you're consistently with issues of the breath. That's what enables you to be in a state of concentration. Even though there's some activity, even though there's some moving around, it's within a prescribed area. You're withdrawn from unskillful qualities, withdrawn from central passions, and you're right here with all the complexities of the breath energy in the body. As you work through the complexities, things begin to hook up, and after a while they stay hooked up, connected into a single field of energy. That's when the perception of breath can get more unified. As it grows more unified, the issues are less complex. You're concerned less and less with the in and out breathing, and more with the state of the breath energy flowing throughout the body. You may notice that the breath channels in the body seem to expand as you breathe in. They may seem to contract as you breathe out. This is where you've got to make up your mind to keep them open all the time, both with the in-breath and with the out, so that it's just open, open, open. Open breath channels, open all the time. That can be your one perception. You don't have to think about in and out. Just everything open, everything open. By this time, you should have noticed where the different nodes of breath energy are, the ones that are like road intersections that can get closed off. You can close off the whole road just by closing off one intersection. But at the same time, once you've got the intersection opened, you've got the whole road open. So focus your attention on the intersections and try to keep them open all the time. That's what Ajahn Lee is pointing to when he talks about the resting spots of the breath. Say you're focused in the middle of the chest. Keep that sense of the middle of the chest wide open all the way throughout the in-breath and all the way through the out. And then think of that sense of openness spreading throughout the body, wherever it's going to go. Get in touch with the awareness that already fills the body as well. So you're thinking all the way open, all the way in, all the way out. and the in and out becomes less and less and less important, while the openness that's continuous takes center stage. With that perception, you can get the mind to a much more solid level of concentration. Just maintain that one perception. There will still be some in and out breathing, but it grows more and more subtle and impinges less and less on your awareness. This is how you can get more in touch with that sense of the really still breath that's not affected by any in or out at all. No sense of motion at all, just there filling the body. So this element of perception, this mental fabrication, has a really important role on how you relate to the present moment. As you learn to fabricate in more subtle ways, more solid ways, more unchanging and unified ways, the mind can settle down more and more solidly, securely. Some people, when they get to this stage, think that the mind isn't doing anything at all. No self, no actor, nothing. But actually, it's just doing one consistent thing. When there's that one consistent thing, you don't notice the motions. The sense of the actor gets less and less prominent in the mind because there's no changing of roles, nothing to thwart your role. There's just a sense of being, just a sense of just being here. But being here is still an activity. It's still a fabrication. Nevertheless, it's a skillful fabrication. It's a part of your path. This is how you begin to understand fabrications, by mastering the fabrications that give you a sense of ease and well-being in the present moment. That allow the mind to settle down. Once it's settled down, it can see the subtleties a lot more clearly. So work on getting the mind in the right position, right here, right now. At this point, your stories and narratives are far away because you've got something really fascinating in the present moment. You see it. You approach the present moment with the right skills, and they really do make a huge difference in the amount of pleasure you get out of it. And that's an important insight right there. The Four Jhanas, January 30th, 2009. As you sit here with your eyes closed, where do you feel the breathing? You may feel it in lots of places in the body, because the breath isn't just the air coming in and out of the lungs. It's an energy flow. It's a part of the breath element that fills the entire body. Your sense of the body sitting here, the whole body, from the head down to the feet, has a breath aspect. Part of that breath is the in and out breath, and another part is simply the energy flowing in the nerves, in the blood vessels, out to the pores of the skin. It's all breath. So as you breathe in and out, you have the right to sense it anywhere at all. You can focus either on the spot where the breath seems most prominent, or the spot where it simply seems most natural to focus. Some people find it easiest to focus on the head. Others find it easier to focus on the chest, the neck, or the shoulders. So focus anywhere you'd like. And allow the spot where you're focusing to have a certain amount of freedom. In other words, don't clamp down on it. Sometimes you may try to define things sharply. This is where the in-breath begins. This is where the out-breath begins. This is where the in-breath ends. And this is where the out-breath ends. But doing that places an unnecessary restriction on your breathing. Given that the whole body is a body of breath energy doesn't come with clear lines or sharp demarcations. When you breathe in, the incoming energy simply melds with the old energy. It doesn't fight it, doesn't have to be pushed against anything. It just suffuses and energizes that which is already there. There's no clear line of demarcation. When the in-breath reaches a point where you feel you've had enough incoming energy, the breath goes out. So try not to impose too many strict preconceived notions on the breath. Just watch how the process feels and hold that perception in mind, that the whole body is a field of breath energy, and the in-breath is simply charging up the breath energy already there. When things feel too charged, you allow the breath to go out. When it's going to start coming in again, that's its business. You're just there to watch it. To use the Thai word Ajahn Phuong would use, prakaon, hover around it, look after it, make sure it feels good. You can pose some questions in the mind. What kind of breathing would feel better right now? What kind of breathing would feel best? Which part of the body needs more breath energy? And see how the body responds. Just hover around the breath like this. The hovering around, that's directed thought and evaluation. As long as you're hovering, can stay with the breath and doesn't hover off to other places, you've got the third factor for first jhana, which is singleness of preoccupation. The singleness here meaning both that it's the one topic you're interested in and that your work with it, it becomes more and more the one thing filling the whole body, your whole range of awareness. You're working on a very broad-based state of concentration here. As the Buddha says, when a feeling of ease and rapture arises, you try to spread it throughout the whole body. The image he gives is of a bathman or bathman's apprentice kneading water into a pile of bath powder. In those days, they didn't have soap. The bathman would start with some scented bath powder and then mix it with water, kneading the water into the powder until it formed a paste with which they bathed. It's similar to mixing water with flour to make bread dough. You want to mix it just right and knead it through thoroughly so that all the flour gets moistened in the same way. You don't add so much water that the water begins to dribble out, or so little water that not all the flour gets moistened. That's what directed thought and evaluation are for. They're not extraneous to the first jhana. They're a part of the process of arranging a good place for the mind to settle down. They help attain some place in the body, a balanced feeling of ease and refreshment, and then allow that ease and refreshment to fill the body, to knead it through the body if necessary, so that the whole body feels saturated and filled with ease and refreshment, with breath, with awareness. You'll notice that awareness has two aspects. There's focus awareness, and then there's a kind of background awareness already in your body. You want to get them in touch with each other. The background awareness is already there, just like the background breath energy in the body. The question in both cases, though, is it full? When dealing with the breath, you're not trying to pump breath into areas where it's never been before. You're simply allowing everything to connect. And the same way with your awareness. You want your focused awareness to connect with your background awareness so that they form a solid whole. Now, as you work with this, you may find after a while that everything is saturated as it can get. No matter how much you try to make it more comfortable, it just doesn't seem to change. At that point, you can just settle in with the breathing as it is, keeping your awareness centered and full. You gain a sense more and more that the breath and the awareness become one, because after all, they're filling the same place. The awareness fills the body, the breath fills the body, and each fills the other, and they become one. The stronger the sense of oneness, the further and further away the hindrances go. They may nibble at the edges of your awareness here and there, but you really don't have to pay them any attention. You don't have to chase them away. If you chase them away, you drop the breath and they've got you. So you don't want them to trick you in that way. Whatever thought comes passing by, just let it go passing by. But the greater the sense of unity or unification here, the less the hindrances are going to be a problem. That right here is enough to get you solidly based. From there, the concentration can develop further. You may decide that the sense of rapture and refreshment is too coarse, that it actually becomes an irritant. You'd like something more refined and still. So tune into the area where there already is stillness in the awareness, where there already is stillness in the breath, and let the rapture do its thing. You don't have to play along with it anymore. You go under the radar, below the rapture, into a level of more subtle ease, relaxed and equanimous. In the canon, the distinction between these two levels is described in terms of two different images. One is of a lake fed by a cool spring. That's the second jhana. There's a sense of upwelling, a movement of the waters. The cool water from the spring spreads to fill the whole lake effortlessly. There's no conscious effort, unlike the image of the bathman who is deliberately working the water through the bath powder dough. Here the cool water just naturally spreads throughout the lake, but still there's a spreading, a sense of upwelling movement and refreshment. In the image for the third jhana, though, the waters of the lake are totally still. Lotuses are growing totally submersed in the water from the tips of the roots up to the tips of the flowers. No movement at all, just the coolness of the water saturating them. As things get more and more connected, even the subtle movement of the breath in and out grows still. The awareness is still. The breath is still. Both fill the body with their stillness. This is the fourth jhana. In the image of this jhana, the water disappears altogether. There is just a light white cloth covering the body. The equanimity here weighs less than the pleasure you've been soaking in, and your awareness throughout the body is very clear. This is when your concentration is really strong. It's not the kind of concentration that blots out other things. It's just there. You've got the perception that gently but steadily holds it there. The world outside is still around you, but you don't send your awareness out to it. You stay with a sense of stillness in the breath, stillness in the body, stillness in the awareness. There's a great sense of freedom. Although there's still the subtle work of staying here, you don't want to drop it, but it's not nearly as complex as the earlier stages of concentration. Getting the mind to settle down like this is like a mother hen trying to gather her chicks together. In the beginning, the chicks are running all over the place. The hen has to run here and there to round them up, but gradually she brings them into a smaller and smaller range until finally they all settle down together under her wing. That's the way it is with concentration. You're not trying to blot out anything. You just maintain your focus and gather everything in. The closer these things come together, the less effort involved in keeping tabs on them. Another image they use in Thailand is of a red ant. The red ant, when it bites, just grabs on with its jaws. It doesn't let go. You can pull off its body, but the jaws stay in place, even when its head is torn off. So all you have to do is gather all your attention on the perception and sensations of the breath throughout the body, and then just hang on. If you do it skillfully, with this enlarged awareness, you settle down and develop a sense of concentration that's easy to maintain. If everything is focused just on one point, that concentration will easily be destroyed with the slightest movement. You may be able to maintain it when you're sitting very still, but as soon as you have to move the body, it's gone. But with the whole body awareness like this, where there's a sense of being settled and established with the entire body, your frame, your center of gravity is low, the mind is broadly based, and it isn't easily tipped over. Even as you get up from your meditation, you can maintain that sense of full body as you walk around, as you deal with other things. It may not actually qualify as jhana, but it's a steady foundation. It's your foundation of mindfulness. It's an establishing of mindfulness, which after all is the theme or nimitta of the meditation. When the Buddha used the word nimitta, he didn't mean a vision or light. He meant a topic of your meditation. And the topic of your meditation is what? It's the four satipatthana. The body in and of itself, feeling in and of themselves, mind in and of itself, or mental qualities in and of themselves, all of which are right here. It doesn't take much to move from body to feeling, or feeling to mind states, or mind state to mental qualities. They're very close together right here. You should choose one as your primary foundation or frame of reference. For instance, try to relate everything to the breath. As feelings come and go, see how they relate to the breath. How does the breath cause them, and which way of breathing helps to induce feelings of ease and rapture? When the ease and rapture seem to be coarse, which way of breathing is, or conceiving the breath allow everything to settle down in a more subtle state of equanimity? Which way of breathing allows you to gain what the Buddha called an enlarged awareness, mahagatam chittam? In the foundation of mindfulness, or the frames of reference, he talks about different ways of categorizing the mind. As you read throughout the list, you see that the categories get more and more refined as your concentration gets more and more refined. So which ways of breathing help the mind to get more refined? In terms of mental qualities, which ways of breathing are associated with the hindrances? Which ways of breathing are associated with the factors for awakening? For example, the first three factors, mindfulness, the analysis of qualities, and persistence, are related to your direct thought and evaluation. Trying to see what's skillful and what's not. Trying to deduce what's skillful and let go of what's not. How do you use the breath to develop these factors in such a way that gathers the remaining qualities, rapture and refreshment, calm, concentration, and equanimity? Here is the stage of concentration. You want to hold onto the breath as your main frame of reference so that you don't get scattered. If you find yourself getting scattered, just drop those connections and stay simply with the sensation of the breath. Learn how to read your mind, to see when the mind is ready to start investigating these connections and when it really needs to just sit down and be still. Stay with the one perception that acts as a thread, keeping the mind right here, sews your awareness together with the body. You're creating a place where insight can arise. It requires a solid foundation, a low center of gravity so that it's not easily knocked off. If you flit around from one frame of reference to another, you miss a lot of things because the flitting around there are going to be a lot of gaps. A lot of interesting things happen in the gaps, which you tend to miss. So think of your mindfulness of the breath as a long piece of thread that sews everything together over time. Anything that comes up in the body or in the mind, try to relate it to the breath. This is the kind of concentration that can provide a good foundation for insight, for discernment. Its range of view is all around, with a few blind spots. The stronger this concentration, the more refined the discernment you can develop. So don't worry about when it stops, about when to stop doing concentration and to start doing discernment work. As the Buddha said, it requires a certain amount of tranquility and insight in order to get the mind to settle down into strong concentration. Then once it's in strong concentration, your tranquility and insight get more refined. These things go together. You may find yourself leaning in one direction or another over any one time, but don't lean so hard that things get tipped over or get scattered. Try to keep everything together like this. The mind can then begin to cut through a lot of defilements, a lot of problems in a way that it couldn't when it was scattered. Ajahn Lee gives the image of gathering everything into a single drill bit that drills down into the earth in one place. Your concentration is here. Your mindfulness is here. Your insight is here. When they're all working together, the drill bit can go deep and cut through anything, even rock, because these qualities are working together.
If you could, I missed a little bit part about breath energy and awareness becoming the same thing. Did I mishear that?
No, I think that's what he's saying. Your breath energy occupies the structure of your body, and the awareness occupies that same space. So they come together and on the same basis of awareness and breath energy of the same entire bodily structure. So.
Okay, get out that drill and start drilling. Variable speed drill that starts slow.